This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We don't need to remind you, I am sure, that just a couple of months ago, we were living through the longest economic expansion this country had ever seen, 11 years and counting. GDP growth was around 2%, lower than we'd like, yes, but bearable. We had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Things, on paper at least, were looking pretty good back then.
From the economic standpoint, where we're right now is in a disaster.
The longer it drags out, the more likely we'll have a significant financial crisis on our hands.
That's Gary Richardson at the University of California, Irvine. He used to be a historian for the Federal Reserve. And Caroline Foline, she's an economic historian at Emory University. The thing is, and the reason we are talking to economic historians, is that the pace at which we went from back then to now means, to paraphrase Donald Rumsfeld here, if I might, we don't know what we don't know about how this economy has changed and what that's going to mean for where we are going. I mean, yes, sure, we have had big job losses before. There was the Great Depression, unemployment at 25%, the Great Recession, unemployment at 10%, but that happened over years. So is there something else we could maybe compare today to?
The magnitude of what we're doing now is similar to the magnitude of the transition we went through in World War II.
By late 1945, 16 million soldiers had started coming home. The war production that had reconfigured the entire labor force was winding down. And in September of that year, 2 million jobs were lost against a much smaller population base. Total war to peace in a matter of weeks, which meant a whole lot of people were looking for work in an economy that had changed fundamentally. So the government stepped in.
The GI Bill. My father, for example, came back from World War II and went to college.
It helped vets with mortgages and unemployment checks and college educations for 7 million people. But there wasn't just the GI Bill.
They made sure that there was lots of credit available to businesses. The government realized that people were going to go back to some new jobs, not to their old jobs. But the government and most people don't realize what those jobs are.
Kind of like now, right? The Fed and Congress making credit available to businesses and tens of millions of people not knowing what their next jobs might be.
You know, we're in this kind of hybrid situation where it's not really like a financial crisis. It's not really like a war.
And we don't know what we don't know.
We're going to know when we're in recovery, when we know that kids are going back to school and people are therefore able to go back to work and that it's safe to do so.
But, and here's the point that maybe enough people aren't saying out loud, not every restaurant or factory or small business that was in business is still going to be in business when this thing is over.
So the government has to support innovation and entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurs are going to need resources so that they can experiment and come up with the new ideas and the new technologies that are going to get the labor force back to work.
We're at 4 congressional rescue packages, as Kimberly pointed out earlier, and who knows how many Federal Reserve lending programs, I've lost track, frankly, totaling something like $6 trillion, the biggest government response to the biggest economic demobilization since, and this is the point of the whole thing, the end of the Second World War. Unemployment benefit increases, loans to small businesses, bailouts for bigger industries, and direct checks to individuals. But here's the problem with historical comparisons. They can tell us what happened, how it turned out the last time the government went this big into the economy. Can't tell us what's coming.